Hey everyone, welcome back to the Flight Test Podcast. Today we have an awesome episode with Nick Frederick from Team High Tech, also known as Nick Nacho, also known as Nacho Cheese from Nacho Cheese Graphics. Pretty awesome podcast. We're talking about 3D flying and just kind of some tips and tricks. And we also talked about a lot of things that weren't 3D flying. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoy this episode. And please check out the show notes for more information on what we talked about today. And enjoy.
Plane should I fly? It's a new tradition.
I saw you playing with a P-38 earlier.
Well, I just set it on autopilot and let it fly.
For people that don't know, during podcasts, Alex flies his iPad simulator. Yeah. So just apparently this isn't entertaining enough. So
I think you need to have something that you're fidgeting with. Like I have my flashy light and you have your simulator. So
That way you're podcasting from the subconscious part of your brain and not the conscious part of your brain. So we get more creative podcasts
that way. We usually have that on. So Josh, it's still.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I just zoned right into that.
Josh also has a blinking light to occupy his lizard brain.
Yes. It does just gather you. It just brings you.
We already started the podcast.
Wow.
So,
So who's here?
I'm Austin Fury.
I'm Nick Frederick.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi, Nick.
I'm David.
I am Alex Zavada.
And he's flying an airplane, and I'm Josh Bixler. I'm looking at a blinky light.
Just in case. So, brought Nick in today for a podcast to kind of entertain us, mostly. No, I'm just kidding. Great.
Who is this Nicky guy?
Yeah, tell us about yourself, Nick. We know all about you, but most people wouldn't, I'm guessing, so.
Sure. I'm with Team High Tech. I've been with them a few years now.
Affirmative.
I started flying probably about 7 years ago, Park Zone Trojan. Quickly evolved into, some 3D hobby shop planes. From there, I decided to start designing stickers for planes, which just snowballed into, I'm doing full custom schemes for, Brandon Chitty's probably, the most famous guy I've done some stuff for.
Okay. Nice.
Which then led me to High Tech.
Give a name. It's an awesome name of your company.
Oh, nachoscheese.net.
Yes.
There you go.
So Nachos Cheese. Everybody called me Nachos for years.
Nick Nacho.
Yeah, we were at Nall. Hey, Nick Nacho.
Oh, yeah, I know. There's so many people that don't even know my real name.
Yeah.
But that's good. That's fine.
Nice. So you usually travel with High Tech around the country doing shows?
Yeah, here and there. I mean, the big one I do is Joe Nall with them. I'll be at the Weak Signal show in Toledo.
Nice.
We'll be there.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, that's always a fun one.
We're going to be roaming.
Oh, well, good for you. I'll be stuck in a booth.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, Sean told us you would be at Flight Fest, so I'm not sure if
you're... Oh, he did.
Not sure if you're aware of that yet, but...
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, you're going to be there. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yes. When is that?
You didn't get the memo, did you?
No. That's usually the way it goes.
Well, for just to plug it, I guess, it's going to be July 25th, or wait, no, 25th, 26th, 27th. Right?
Now we gotta go outside.
Dang it.
Don't you have it on your iPad?
I can check.
Yeah, he's checking right now.
Okay, so we'll talk about something else in the meantime.
Neff is
nice.
The next.
Weather, yes. By the way.
So nice weather, yeah. Thanks.
You're gonna pull it at home.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Are you gonna be at Neff? Are you planning on going to Neff?
Indoor? Neff?
Yeah.
No.
No, okay.
No, I don't think so.
Indoor's not really High Tech's thing.
Well, I don't know, about High Tech, but me in general, I don't have anything indoor because the second I have something indoor, I break it.
Yeah,
because you fly it at places you shouldn't indoors.
Exactly. So, yeah, indoor stuff and me do not mesh.
Nice. It's a stinking walls.
Well, let's...
floor, ceilings, all of it.
Let's backtrack to about Nick Nacho. Tell us a little bit. You said you've been in RC for 7 years.
How did you get started?
Yeah, tell us a little bit how you got into RC.
Well, it's one of those things, like, growing up, airplanes, like... Plane in the sky, I stopped whatever I was doing, stared up, looked at the plane, air show every year. It was just, a passion of mine. Mm-hmm. I always, growing up, said, I want a remote control helicopter. And then I just never did it. And then when I was probably 20, 21, I got, one of those cheap little air hog things, and it flew for 10 seconds. And I was like, okay. And then, finally, there was a local guy that I had run into that flew, and he kind of just steered me in the right direction. I went to the Park Zone Trojan and simulator, and then from the first time I flew that thing, it was, you know, it was over. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it's been crazy since.
I'm yet to hear a single experience where someone hasn't had someone else help them get in the hobby. It's always seems like a staple. No one's like, I want to do this, and they do it. Well, actually, Dave, you're the one that did it in the bubble, huh?
Yeah, because we don't have too many RC pilots around my area.
I take it back. I know one guy that has done that. But it seems like you always need someone to help you get in the hobby.
Oh, absolutely. It's almost impossible, Mr. David.
No, it's just more costly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, so the Trojan... what do you think about that as a first plane then?
You know, looking back, I loved it, but it was probably a little fast for me. Mm-hmm. You know, getting that thing to slow down to land was...
It is pretty quick.
Yeah. You know, even you cut the power and it just goes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I had a lot of rough landings, but in the end, you know, I was very happy that I started four-channel. You know, a lot of guys start without a rudder and... To me, or without ailerons, and to me, you know, that's the main control surface you're using. So,
especially with today's airplanes, bank and yank is just common.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I'm glad I did it, but you know, I probably could start a little easier.
Yeah,
nice,
cool. So, yeah, for people that don't know what the Trojan is, can you give a brief description? Just
sure. Yeah, I think the wingspan's in the 40, a little high 40 range. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a foam plane, low wing, little dihedral, so it doesn't roll over on you as easy. It's a little more forgiving in the air.
Tricycle gear.
Tricycle gear, that's right. You know, tough tricycle gear, too.
But it doesn't look like a typical trainer, right?
No, it's a warbird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
so
warbird.
It's pretty daring.
Well, yeah, but when you don't know any better, this is how you start. Yeah.
Well, that one looks cool.
Yeah, exactly. It's got wings.
The full-scale T-28, if I'm not mistaken, was a trainer for fighter pilots.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Military primary trainer, if I'm not mistaken.
Big
yeah.
radial engine. It was a great plane.
Supposedly, I heard a rumor about the full-scale Trojan that it's actually 600 individual parts makes up the whole airplane. I guess
what?
The left wing can also become the right wing.
No.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah, it was made off of all these simplistic formers and stuff, but brutally simple to manufacture these planes.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was an old wide sales. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but if that's true, that's crazy. 600 parts, you know?
When it comes to a trainer, probably less parts is good.
Yeah.
It's probably a good thing.
So after the Trojan, what did you do then?
I quickly jumped into, it was a Great Plains Yak, which was far too much plane for me. I remember the maiden, took it off, rolled it over, slammed it into the ground, went straight to the hobby shop, bought balsa, fixed it.
So it's a balsa plane?
Yeah.
What size?
It was a 3-cell battery. It was, again, in the 40-inch range, probably low 40-inch range.
Okay.
But, you know, I was just not prepared for that.
Yeah.
So, but that plane really kind of taught me to fly 3D, and, you know, right from there, I discovered 3D Hobby Shop, and, you know, their stuff always flies good.
Well, it's amazing.
So you discovered 3D Hobby Shop after two planes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that is crazy. So 3D is your passion then, or was?
Yeah, you know, and I think I'd be more old school, where I like big straight lines in the sky, and then you throw in a tumble or something like that. That's, you know, that's what I like to watch, and that's what I try to fly. But yeah, I guess if you had to describe me 3D as far as fixed wing, would be the way that I fly.
Okay, big planes or small planes or?
Well, yeah, they grew and grew and grew, and you know, right now I have. Well, last summer I crashed a 50cc, 87-inch extra.
Ooh. Why? Or how? I mean,
it was. Why? Why definitely you? Came to mind. Yeah, no. It was one of those, you know, low light. I was feeling really good, really comfortable. The downside with my well, not the only downside, but my dad was actually coming to the field, and he had never seen me fly a big gas plane before.
Aww.
And I saw him, he was riding his Harley, so I couldn't call him and say like, hey, you know, where you at? I saw him coming, and I told him, when you get close, I'm going to fly my plane out and follow it back. And so I flew it out. He makes a turn. I look away from him, start flying it back. I look over at him, look back. My plane is just about to impact. Mm. So I'm not exactly sure what happened.
I think you're glitched.
We'll go with that.
That sounds reasonable.
So, but yeah, that was a heartbreaker. That was, you know, my first big one. And then, but
what was the word from your dad when he got down to the field then?
Oh man, I don't even remember, but I'm sure it was some smart aleck comment because that's the nice relationship landing that we have. Yeah. No, I think he actually, I don't think he saw it go in. I think he saw me and my buddy Josh walking out into the cornfield. And I think he yelled, like, why are you going out there? That can't be good. Something, you know, something along those lines.
I should have been like, it's crazy. Some guy just ran off with my plane.
We gotta go catch him. I wanted the gear back, so, yeah.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah, that sucked.
You find anything 50cc and up just makes a very unique sound when it hits the ground.
Oh, it's a sickening sound. Yeah.
It almost seems delayed, too. It goes in, and then you hear the... You know?
Well, yeah, and you have that gas motor, and then it's just gone. Mm-hmm. And then you hear thud.
Yeah.
And then it's silence. And that silence sucks.
Yeah. So you mostly fly gassers then? No electrics? Or
you know, I've always had electrics. That was my first gas plane. But right now I have, as we were saying before the podcast, I started designing schemes for Aerobees, who make 3D planes. I have a 50cc Aerobee Slick. Well, actually, I have a DA-60 on it, sitting on the shelf, ready for maiden.
Nice.
And then I just placed an order for one of their 50cc extras that just came out.
Nice.
So I will have two this summer. One is a backup, of course. And then yeah, I have a lot of the multiplex high-tech, you know, just fun electrics. You know,
sure.
Just stuff you go out to the park and just rip it around.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, this, I don't know if this is kind of hard to talk about it over, but obviously all your graphics are vinyl, right?
Yeah.
What are some do's and don'ts when putting vinyl graphics on an airplane? Because I know a lot of people put it on and, you know, alignment issues and things like that.
Yeah. Patience is a big part of it. The way I do it, you know, a big plane is actually going to be easier. But when you're laying on, like, a big graphic, and I don't know if I'll be able to describe this just right, but a big graphic, what I do is I will cut the backing and the masking as close to the edge of the graphic as I can, lay it on, use blue painter's tape to hold it in place, and then I do what's called the hinge method. So if it's the vinyl's going east to west, I take blue painter's tape and go north to south, perpendicular, stick it on, peel up the right side, peel off the backing, lay it down, pull the tape, then do the left side. And the big trick is work from the middle out. That way you don't get bubbles.
I see a Wednesday
episode coming out. From the
middle
out.
Yeah. Not one side to the other, because a little mistake at the right side becomes a huge mistake at the left side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great point.
What are you doing after the podcast for about an hour and a half?
Putting stickers on something?
Whatever. I think we have a how-to video coming up.
Okay, we can do that.
That's cool.
How to install vinyl.
Exactly. Yeah. I never knew from the middle. That explains a lot.
It makes a huge difference. I mean, I just did last summer 103-inch extra that came to me completely white.
Okay.
Again, from my friend Josh. And I completely covered it in vinyl, the whole scheme. And I'll tell you, that was very intimidating. But, I just stuck with what I know, and it turned out good. So.
Nice.
Wow.
So you've done some vinyl schemes for some pretty notable pilots. So they actually send you their airplane and have you install? Or do you just sometimes send just the vinyl? Or how's that work?
Most of the time I send just the vinyl.
Okay.
Like Brandon Chitty, I've done three, maybe four big planes for him.
Okay.
I send him the vinyl. And he is probably the one guy that I would say is a better vinyl installer than me.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how he does it, but it's perfect.
So you don't use Windex or anything. I see a lot of people spray stuff down and.
I have. The problem with that is that you are like almost guaranteed to have bubbles when you do that. And for me, if the plane is clean, you start from the middle, work your way out, you'll get a couple bubbles. You just pop them with a pin or X-Acto knife and work the air out.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, going back to it, they just showed it. One of the new 3D Hobby Shop 108-inch extras they just released. I did a red Oracle scheme for Andy Juice is what he goes by. He was one of their pilots. He's local to me, so they dropped off the plane, and hours later I had it done. So
wow,
it was an intimidating one as well, but it turned out awesome.
That's an immediate change. I mean, you can transform a whole plane in the course of a couple hours.
Instant gratification.
Awesome. Nice. Awesome. You know, one thing beyond this, I really value about you, you're a family man.
Definitely.
I think that's a huge thing in this hobby that is more prevalent now than ever before.
Absolutely.
Even all the high-tech guys, I talk to them. They're all family men, too, Sean and all them. And
oh, for sure.
It's really cool to have that environment and have that love of a family, because it brings the hobby not only as gratification, as we were talking about earlier, to yourself, but to your kids. And it's a bonding agent. So hats off to you on that, man.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's easy, you know, especially with this hobby, because, you know, I remember – back when I was getting started, I was real into four-wheelers and racing four-wheelers. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I think I might sell this thing. I don't ride it enough. You know, the airplanes is kind of intriguing to me. And she said, you know, if you sell the four-wheeler, I like the airplanes because when we have a family, we can all go and we can all do that together. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we do. You know, Sunday mornings, not every Sunday morning, but, you know, Sunday mornings, we generally end up at the club. You know, I got fruit snacks and stuff and lawn chairs for the kids.
Nice.
And they love it. And they're always, you know, when can I fly? I'm like, well, you can.
How old are your kids?
My son will be 4 this month.
Wow.
My daughter will be 2.5. So
awesome.
Nice. Yeah, so they're into it, but they are not trustworthy.
They're pretty crazy on the sticks. My son, it was out of frustration that I finally let him fly alone. I built them both slow sticks.
Okay.
And those things are awesome, but they bang the sticks, and after 5 minutes on the simulator, you know what they do. They just drive into the ground.
Yeah.
You know, and they love it.
Well, yes, I'm very familiar with that.
Piece as a father, when you're looking at the kid, it's like, yeah, you get bored after 5 seconds and drive a thing into the ground. You're going to do that in real life. And finally, my son was like, I want to fly. I was like, that's fine. But Daddy won't be able to fix it here on the field. To wait till we get home, and I turn around and I still have the iPhone video because I was expecting a really colossal crash. And Mikey, the youngest, he just took it right off, smooth as can be, did a loop, went around, did another loop, and then he turns away and he's all excited and the plane's like flying off in the distance. You know? And I was like, look at the plane! But
that's kind of how I crashed my 50cc.
There you go. Were you with Dad? You weren't with the high tech guys when that happened, were you?
No. You know what? The scary thing about that one is it was coming back at us, and thankfully it was just me and my friend at the field. I mean, it hit far enough out, but, you know, geez, you know, you just, that's the kind of stuff that scares me. That's the other part that scares me about letting kids fly is consequences that they just don't understand yet.
Yeah, the big whirling blades of death in front of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's there's no take backs or reset button on that one. We have, just so you know, we have another person in the podcast room. If you hear some noise, it's Max. And he just knocked over Alex's iPad. Sorry about that, Alex.
That's all right. Yeah, the heavy breathing into the mic isn't Nick. It's actually Max. So.
He's a diva now. He just wants to be in here. So. Yeah, Alex was gracious enough to bring him in because he was scratching at the door. So sorry for the lack of professionalism.
Yeah,
that's my dog.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So I heard you fly multi-rotors now.
Yeah, that is quite taken over my hobby fund. You know, the multi-rotors for me was always, and you were a huge inspiration, and I'm not just saying that because you're sitting there. You know, when I first saw, I think you called it the leaf blower.
Yeah.
FPV video, flying that tricopter and the leaves were blowing. I watched that so many times.
So you're the views? Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. These are all me. So, you know, from there, I built one of your tricopters. You know, I started out with quadcopters, and now I have some larger hexacopters, which, you know, we were talking about the camera gimbals are just driving me insane right now. But,
oh, yeah.
But I'm close. I've done, I do some real estate, you know, photos and stuff for, you know, when real estate agents I know, which is fun because you know, get paid to have fun and play with your toys. So,
so you mostly use it as a tool to get video or photos, or do you fly it for fun, or?
To be very honest, I don't enjoy flying it unless there's a camera on it.
Mm-hmm.
it's the addiction to the footage is what I'm after.
Yeah. You know? Now, do you fly FPV?
I have a small FPV setup. You know, I use a monitor. I had the Fat Shark goggles for a while, and I was just not ready for that.
Oh, really? Tell us about that experience, because that's interesting.
Well, you know, there's not a whole lot of story to it. It was just, you know, I had a golf course that was saying, yeah, come film it. And I said, okay, well, I'll get an FPV set up and be a piece of cake, you know. And I had a Flame Wheel 450 with a GoPro Hero 2 on it, and I had the feed coming right from that. and it was like at dusk, and you know the GoPros,
especially the twos,
yeah, in low light is just awful, and it was like flying in the dark. The footage was so bad that we just grabbed a golf cart and started chasing it, and I just it's, I'm done with FPV. But then recently I bought the little monitor setup from Ready Made RC.
Yeah,
you know, actually the one you guys did the show on. I literally bought it like the week before, and so I didn't get the discount or anything.
Are we liars or are we telling the truth with that one?
No, that thing is awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, plugs right in. So yeah, I use that just for, I figure in the spring when the real estate photos come back up, I could frame my shots and just
that'd be nice. Yeah.
Be in and out.
Yeah.
You know, so. my brother, when my father passed, the lawyer was really helpful to my mom, and my brother's like, you know, I want to help you out. What's something I can do? Thank you. And he's like, well, you guys own an airplane. I would love to get an aerial shot of my house.
Cool.
Well, what he didn't tell my brother was that it was in the middle of the woods. So my brother jumps in my dad's plane and he's flying around. Well, there's no way he can get down low enough, quick enough to get shots of the house. And so what we did is we came out with a quadcopter, and I didn't even fly at line or FPV. I flew at line of sight.
Right.
And I said, here, put these on and just tell me what you like. And the guy's like, a little higher, a little bit to the left, a little to the right. Can you get behind that tree? And it was really cool because, you know, we just sat there and, you know, listened to what he wanted. And it was kicking off a shot every 2 seconds.
Okay.
And we gave him the SD card, and I called him up a couple days later. I was like, you know, to get any good shots? He goes, well, I got a problem. And I was like, what's the problem? He goes, I got like 700. I don't know which ones to print. But, there's certain things that a multi-rotor or an FPV platform can do that a full scale could never even touch safely. You know?
And absolutely.
My brother was trying to get in that little postage stamp of a hole, you know, with that T-Craft. It must have been scaring the bejeebers out of the cows in the area. But it's a lot safer, a lot better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's you know, where that whole portion of the hobby is going is just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, so. A lot of really great uses for it.
With a monitor, it can be nice to mix line of sight with FPV as well.
Yeah.
So if you're used to line of sight, you can kind of adjust it, but then for reference, you know, check what you're getting on the monitor, and that is nice.
And that was the problem I was having. I shot a huge house, and the problem I had was I'm flying at line of sight, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I think it's pretty good. And then it would be like just a touch off frame, and it would drive me nuts. And I reshot that house 3 times.
Oh, wow.
Just for my own personal wanting it perfect. Once I got the FPV set up, I think I'm going to be in real good shape on that.
Nice.
So cool. Do you enjoy building? Oh, what the heck? Is that
That's a Chinook.
Yeah, that sounds like a Chinook.
That rattled the house.
That's
perhaps,
awesome.
Perhaps more than one.
There it is again.
It doesn't take much.
Everyone quiet. I'm just going to boost the audio. That's Max. Thank you. Okay, so back to
your regularly scheduled programming.
Do you enjoy building or flying more?
Oh, flying, for sure.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you like ARFs and just go out and fly?
Well, something that I'm slightly embarrassed about is my last 3 big planes. I give them to, again, my buddy Josh.
Oh, really?
And then they come back to me, ready to fly. So, it's the advantage of, being able to make some nice stickers and trading things. And he's a heck of a builder, so.
Trading services. And
yes, goods for services. Yes. I like it.
How did you meet up with High Tech?
Actually what it was Brandon Chitty bought a all-white 3D Hobby Shop Extra, and they asked Ben over there, hey, you know, we need somebody to draw something up. And so one day Brandon Chitty out of the blue calls me, and I was like, I can't believe this guy's calling me. And I did that plane, and then I did another plane for him, and then they said, hey, we need some team shirts, you want to take a shot at that?
Nice.
So I drew our team shirts, and then, you know, when it got to the point, like, all of our shirts, at least the original ones, have names on them on the back, and they're putting the names on. You give me a list of names, and my name is on the list. And I was like, yeah, this is cool. Okay. And, I thought they were joking, and then Brandon called me, and he's like, no, you definitely want you involved. And from there, it's been awesome. I mean, they're...
So you designed the High Tech team shirts?
Yeah, those best-looking shirts.
Yeah, those are very nice shirts. I have to admit that.
Warm and neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And the other thing, neat thing about high tech is it's not just the skill. So you have amazing skills as a pilot. But brother, the first time I met you, I remember you came up and like, how you doing? You want a waffle? And I got to have waffles with you.
That's right, at Huckfest.
Huckfest. And the whole high tech team you included is just some of the nicest, kindest, friendliest guys.
I appreciate that.
And that's what this hobby is all about. You definitely make it's not just the awesomeness behind your thumbs and your skills in the air, but it's, you know, guys, if you're ever at an event, go to the high tech tent because these guys will make you feel loved and you'll be laughing with them within 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, especially at Jonal. Come see us at the 3D line at Jonal.
Yeah.
That is the, you know.
I got to be careful. I plug Joe Noel more than Flight Fest.
Yeah, right.
It is amazing.
Well, I'll come to Flight Fest too, and we'll have a good time.
Very cool. Yeah, we want to someday make Flight Fest like Joe Noel. So Joe Noel is the standard, I think, every event should
heaven.
Be.
It's heaven.
Oh, Disneyland for dudes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Woodstock of RC.
Yeah. I have no more analogies.
Okay, so moving on. Got some good stories from Joe Noel then?
Family friendly.
Yeah, family friendly, yes. There's a couple. Most of the time, during the day, Mike and Sean would go up to the main line. I hung out at the 3D booth this past year. But we had Sam Swink, which you're very familiar with, David.
Yes, I am.
Having a slight midair with him.
Yeah, we can tell that story if you want to.
Yeah, so I think that was the day that I saw you and I said, hey, I want to fly a DLG. So I came up to buy you guys. You taught me how to throw a DLG, which is really cool.
You look like a ballerina. It was awesome.
Learn from the best, you know?
A very pretty ballerina. Yeah.
That's definitely what I was going for. I said, you guys got to come down tonight, film some stuff and just hang out. And then, it was about dusk or a little earlier, and you come down with that tricopter, and Sam was flying our yak around the pond, and he's an incredible pilot. And then all of a sudden, we just hear this tick, and everybody's like, did they hit, what happened? But amazingly, that little tricopter and the 50cc yak are still both in the air.
Wow.
And, they both land and we come back and David's missing like the tiniest little piece of landing gear.
Yeah.
And there's a chip in like a $90 carbon fiber prop on the front of the yak. And, that was just incredible.
It was as close as you possibly can get.
Without wrecking both.
Yeah, yeah. I mean.
Yeah. He said he still fly that prop, though.
I don't doubt that.
He poured in CA. You guys were just
I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, wicked it in there.
Yeah, you, David, you posted that video, right, on RC Explorer?
Yes.
Smoke it's on in the waters.
Yes, smoke
we'll
in the
water.
We'll
have to put that in the show notes.
And actually, it's a great one to watch just for 3D footage.
Well, yeah.
Oh, so yeah.
That's kind of what we're going to be talking about today.
All right. Yeah. So main topic, maybe? Okay. Oh, yeah.
Segway.
Hey, when are we starting? Just kidding.
Are we recording yet? Did we hit that yet? No. Well, yeah. I mean, part of what we're going to be talking today is that while when you're getting into RC or if you're wanting to get into RC, probably the most eye-catching way to fly or form of flight is probably 3D flying.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what a lot of people think of when they think of RC. Just because there's awesome maneuvers, oftentimes smoke involved, aka David's video. But actually, I know that one of Alex's first planes was a Beast, right?
Yeah, UMX Beast. I was trying to hover it, but
right. Actually, I think it's hanging. I think it's hanging in pieces on our wall.
Yeah.
Our wall of memories, but we recently did a video on how to tame down a 3D plane that you've purchased prematurely, perhaps before you were actually ready to fly to it. So anyway, I thought we would talk about some just getting into 3D flying, some different things to practice, some different things to work on, I figured we have enough experience and knowledge here that we could have a pretty good discussion about that. So
sure.
So how would you start?
Well, simulator is how you start everything RC.
Right.
Definitely start in the simulator because, 3D generally means you're flying post-stall. So the plane is ready to fall out of the air. So you need to be prepared for that. The big things is, build it right. Follow the manufacturer's specifications. Make sure your CG is right. That is a huge thing, because you're not going to hover a plane that's nose heavy. I mean, and if you can, then, you know,
it's not going to hover well.
Right. And it's not probably going to end well. So, you know, setup is huge. You know, picking the right propeller. Again, going back to whatever the manufacturer specifies is generally the best way to do it. You know, from there on, you know, what I would tell anybody that's looking to do it is actually learn to fly before you learn to fly 3D. Because there's so many kids out there now that are so good at 3D, and it is incredible, but they cannot fly straight line or land. You know?
Yeah. That is an amazing thing, is there's a whole other amount of, you're talking about manufacturer specs, there's a whole other level of science post-stall.
Yeah.
You know, what the plane does, you know, it's relying on the motor, the airflow over the control surfaces and things like that. So just because a plane seems really stable and good, you know, flying line, or what's called linear, I guess you can say, pre-stall,
sure,
does not mean it's a good 3D airplane.
Definitely not, yeah.
It doesn't always end well.
Yeah, I mean, you really got to look at the plane and look at the control surfaces, make sure they're big enough. You know, prop size is huge. If you got too small of a prop, there's not enough air, you know, rolling over those control surfaces that, you know, it's just not going to be a good thing. So, you know, again, go back to the manufacturer specs and set it up for 3D. Overpower it is another thing that I highly recommend. You know, get yourself some pull out to get yourself out of trouble and... you know, and then it's just stick time.
Yeah, what kind of thrust to weight ratio are you looking for? What's a good number?
Well, see, I'm uneducated when it comes to that sort of thing. I really rely on the manufacturers. You know, the big tip, like for propellers for 3D, you want to take the diameter of the propeller, cut it in half, and that's your pitch. So, like, a 14 by 7 is going to hover very well. Mm. 13, that's really 6.5. So that's kind of what I always look for, you know, as far as, you know, setup and, you know, power to thrust, as light as possible and as much thrust as possible, you know.
Okay. So. Nice. So after you learn to fly around, do patterns and landing and taking off, what's the first maneuver you should try? Like, try to master?
You know, probably, you know, in backing up before the first maneuver to try, I would say definitely learn four-point rolls, slow rolls, be comfortable with the plane in every orientation. Mm. Because in 3D, you know, you have the torque of the motor pulling it around when you're not expecting it to, and all of a sudden, hey, I'm inverted and I did not plan to be here. So you need to be comfortable with that. For me, probably, you know, the blender was one of the first things that I did, and it was terrible.
Can you explain what that is, the new pilots?
Sure. You know, take it up very, very high. You go into a downline. You're adding, you know, rudder and elevator and aileron. You know, it's spinning around as it's falling, but not just like an axial roll. The tail is flipping out farther than the nose is. And then you pull in the aileron and flatten it out. And so the plane is basically inverted in a flat spin upside down very violently. And then you pull out.
Nice.
And hopefully it's high enough and you're good.
I love it when the guys, they just milk it to the last couple feet and then they just stop it dead. You know, and then they turn it, what is it, in a funnel? And start going back up.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many things that guys pull out of that.
Yeah,
but that's an easy one to get into. From there, I went into hovering because, you know, everybody wants to hover. It's so cool.
It's a good staple.
Yeah, and the trick for me with that was, you know, I kept trying it high to, you know, two mistakes high. So, but what I finally one day just said, oh, I'm sick of this. I'm gonna bring it down low so I can actually see what I'm doing. And boom, I was hovering. It was, you know, no big deal. You get it down low. Plus, as strong as these things are built anymore, if you screw up a hover a foot off the ground and it drops to the ground, it's most likely going to be flyable right after that. So,
especially if it's a EPP model or
something. So definitely EPP.
Yeah.
So yeah, EPP is actually a great place to start. I actually just got a full fuse EPP extra from Aerobees.
Nice.
And I've got a few flights on that thing, and it flies like balsa. You know, and so that would be an excellent place to start, these full-fuse EPP planes.
The Weekender series has an amazing...
The Extra.
Extra, yeah.
That thing is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get one of those right as they came out. That plane surprised me so much. You know, it's a three-cell and a three-blade prop. And on that, it is amazing iMac.
It's not small either.
No, it's you could fly a three or four cell on that thing.
Wow.
Hmm. With four cell, it'll hover with that three blade prop.
Nice.
But what I did is I pulled that prop off and put a 14.7 on it and a 3S2200. I'll hover it all day.
Really?
Yeah. And that's in my truck all the time. I have skis on it right now. You know, nice. It's, you know, you just take that thing out and it's always good.
Well, I remember seeing it in Neat and I was like, that's a big plane. And yeah. The reason was it moved like a big plane. It had the presence of a big plane, but it's big, but it's not overly huge. But the way it tumbled, the way, you know, you guys would pop it up, it was amazing.
And it's solid, so the wind doesn't bat it around like these other little planes. And even a balsa plane gets thrown around in the wind so much more than this thing.
Hmm.
And I think I built that thing in 15 minutes. Like,
wow.
It comes so well put together. The worst part was... There's a goofy multiplex connector on the battery that you cut off and put a Deans on. You know, it's one of those.
Do you like
one
Deans?
Of those European things over there?
Are you a Deans guy?
I am.
Oh my gosh, I liked you before.
I use those goofy yellow ones.
Yeah, I currently do.
No, I've actually looked at those, and especially for my multirotor stuff, wanted to convert it, and I just that's a lot of soldering.
That's the problem. If you have to commit. Start.
Yeah, and I have like bags full of Deans.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna burn those up first.
It's kind of fun. I know some people they'll get a common connector for everyone else's, and other people they don't want to share their batteries, so they find the most unique oddball connector. And now it's like, sorry, man, I got this weird connector. You know,
the other way to do that is to fly mode one.
Yeah,
my buddy Josh, he flies mode one, and it's just like. Him and I were both like, God, I want to fly your plane. I want to, you know, and he's like the one guy I would hand my radio to, but it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
We did that at Huckfest. He handed me, it was late at night, under the lights.
Perfect time.
Yeah. Handed me his foamy and his radio and he goes, fly it. And so, you know, I gave it a little throttle and I'm like, I'm going to give it up elevator and just let it go out nice. So the first thing it does is it starts pitching back, and you know the difference between mode one and mode two is the throttle and the elevator are switched.
Right.
So for when it's starting to come back at me,
you went full throttle, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm thinking, all right, kill the throttle and push it out. But what I did was full throttle and pull it back, and it literally hit me right on top of the head.
So, under the lights,
in my Team High Tech jersey, imagine. Looking awesome.
I remember with Joe Knoll. Do you remember the mentor that you guys were?
Well, I remember that mentor very well. Yeah,
with the pontoons and the 10,000 lights and
fireworks
and evilness. You guys had some kind of weird. I remember you had to have full right rudder. Just to get it tracking straight because there's so much torque or something crazy.
Yeah, I don't exactly remember what we did on that thing, but we really hopped it up. I think we took the motor out of the toucan because yes. We burned the other motor up and put it on there, which was way overpowered. You know, and then Sam Swink was just flying that thing wide open throttle. Half the lights were working on it in the dark.
Box loops.
Yeah. I mean.
And hopscotching it. Right?
Hopping that's on. Right. That's right. He was skipping it off the ground. And I remember, it was probably like 1 or 2 in the morning, and the prop adapter flew off. And the prop flew off, and it's out in the field. And we're like, and I was actually kind of relieved. I'm like, all right, we're done. You know, nobody got hurt. We're done. And then this, 10-year-old kid comes running up. He goes, I found it! And hands us the prop and the prop adapter in that huge field that Joe Knoll finds it.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
So then we flew it till it broke.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was the other funny thing. Do you ever get in hot water? Because coming to the events, you guys have all these beautiful planes, and then the carnage grows, and it goes down one table, then around the back, and around the front, where every airplane, except for maybe two, have been scalped or robbed or something to be, you know, for these final two that look like some kind of Frankenstein aerial vehicles, you know?
You know, it's not on me.
You're not held responsible.
I would not throw anybody under the bus, but I would say Mike Mayberry is probably the most guilty of
of
breaking things. Although, you know what?
I would have thought Sean.
Well, Sean's also very involved. Okay. Mike flies Mode 1, which is incredible. I've seen him fly Mode 2 planes, you know, on a Mode 2 radio. It just shocks me that he can do it, because I can't, obviously.
That's quite intense.
But yeah, no, it's definitely, I don't want to say that's our thing, but we're there to have fun and show off how much fun the hobby can be in our planes. And, you know, if you can Frankenstein a plane together and you're still having fun and, you know, everybody's smiling, we're good.
What I caught the most also was it wasn't just you guys flying. You guys put these things together, and then you'd just be tossing the transmitter. And that's one thing we love doing is playing past the transmitter.
Oh,
but you guys did that before we even existed. And that was so cool because, you know, I'd see other people. It's like, oh, you got to fly this crazy Mentor with the oversized prop. And by the way, do this, this, and this, or it'll crash, you know?
Yeah, you couldn't take it off without full right rudder.
No.
Yeah.
And that was just so great of you guys, because the reason that the planes were in pieces was because you were really letting people experience the planes and have some fun.
Yeah.
Well, you and Josh, you and David, when we were the last day in Neat Fair, I don't think you were there, Nick, but you guys did a demo with Sean and Sam.
And, it wasn't an hour before. They're like, hey, do you want to do a demo? We're like,
we got free t-shirts out of it, too.
Hey, well, awesome. That's a win. Yeah.
Which plane did you fly?
It was the Razor.
I remember.
Yeah,
the Zipper. The little fast one?
Yeah, this was the last day of Neat. So I remember Sean's like, yeah, Josh, you can just fly this. And Josh was like, well, where's the elevator? And Sean's like, we're trying to find it.
It should be good in an hour.
Yeah. The funny thing is, we didn't announce it, but like for you with the glider, because the glider had to be something tweaked out with it, right?
It wasn't trimmed.
So they were both maidens during the demo. It's like, yeah, it should be fine. I think we got it figured out now, and it flew great.
I bet.
The deflection on that elevator, you could barely. It's like a millimeter up and down. It was hysterical, but it flew great. It was fun.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you guys are good pilots, so I'm sure that's half the reason they handed you
that's not
well put together planes.
I think that's just crazy.
David, you made the walk of shame because the glider just kept drifting. He landed like 100 feet away.
Yeah, I did. I'm just putting it down. And, that's the first time flying that plane. I had no idea how it would fly.
Sure.
I think Sean was announcing on the microphone. He's like, here comes David. There goes Dave.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Sean told me I should come in here as a character like Ron Burgundy and do the whole podcast as Ron Burgundy.
Nice.
I don't see a problem with
so
that.
We're slightly off topic. So after the blender, what would you recommend starting with?
That's what we were talking about.
Yeah, I knew the topic was going to be 3D flight, so I Googled some tips.
Nice.
No, I wrote some stuff down, but, you know, basically I went into a hover, and then from there, you know, hover, you're seeing the plane in all sorts of orientations. You kind of learn that, all right, it's going in here. I'm giving it power. You know, kind of a tip when you're starting with hovering, you know, pop the throttle a little bit, get air moving over your control surfaces. If you got to do a big movement, pop the throttle and do that movement so that you know, you have a little more authority. You know, and then once you're in that, you know, learning about, you know, the torque is going to try and pull the plane around. So you got to give it immediate right aileron and hold it in place. So, you know, that's where I went. I probably should have spent a little more time in Harrier, things like that first.
So what's a Harrier?
Harrier is like your high alpha, where you're flying very low speed with the nose up in the air.
It's still flying like forward.
Yes, it's forward-ish. This is a perfect way of saying. If you've seen any 3D flying, it's really a lot of what's going on in between maneuvers. Nose up in the air, very slow. To get that right is a little tricky, too. You have to watch for wing rock. So you need to learn to use your rudder, and you also need to learn to not use your rudder, because mm-hmm. too much rudder is going to make that impossible. But, you know, you also have to learn to turn it, and, you know, if you throw just the aileron into that, it's just going to fall over. So it's a balance of all your control surfaces to keep it flying nice and slow. And that's also a huge advantage to flying at a smaller field, is if you can Harrier, you can land just about anywhere.
Mm-hmm. So nice. Very true. Mm-hmm. Now, and also throttle management. Everything. Yeah. Is, if you take your thumb off the throttle, you're not ready for 3D. You always got to keep your thumb on the throttle.
Yeah, yeah. If you watch any videos, there's a lot of instructional videos. You know, Whamsy, James Winstead, has a really nice group of videos on YouTube, you know, where you take the simulator and you can see the transmitter mode and what the plane's doing. And if you watch him or, you know, anybody doing a rolling Harrier, you know, which, again, is in the Harrier, the nose up and the plane is rolling. So every time that plane is turned a quarter, you know, every control surface is in a different position to keep that nose up in the air.
Yeah.
Including the throttle. I mean, you're popping the throttle at different points to keep it up. So, yeah, you're moving all four control surfaces, or all four sticks, well, two sticks, four directions mm-hmm. at all times. So.
So you always, yeah, you have to move all the sticks at all times, and they're doing different things.
Right.
And you have to time it to where the plane is, right?
Correct.
So that's something to practice, like rolling circles or whatever.
Yeah.
It's all about the timing on the sticks, right?
Timing is huge. Timing and throttle is huge. And again, I'm not a pro by any means. I can rolling Harrier on a simulator all day. I can do it on the field to a point, but there's that point where the plane rolls and comes around and is coming back at you, and you have to trust your rhythm to keep it going. But 9 times out of 10, my nose drops and I'm pulling mm-hmm. out of it looking sloppy. So, but yeah, it's, you know, when you're canopy in, if you're going to the left, you got to have right rudder. Once you go upside down elevator, you got to have negative elevator to lift it up. And then, so as it's rolling around, you're just constantly changing that tail end to you know, keep the nose up. So
how do you practice that? Or like how do you even start doing that maneuver, like in the simulator?
For me, what I did, you know, I just would Harrier around in the simulator. Then I'd start to roll. And where it kind of clicked in with me, again, on the simulator, not in real life, is I watched one portion of the plane, whether it's the landing gear or the wing, and I figured out, okay, as this wing is coming up, I need to start pushing rudder this way. Mm. And then I just, you know, you get the timing on how fast it's rolling. And you can cheat it. You can either eliminate elevator or eliminate rudder, but you're going to have no control over where the plane is going.
Oh.
So you can't steer it at all. It's just going to fly, and it'll actually come into a circle just because of the torque. But, yeah, you definitely – it's a lot of time and, you know, watch what the plane is doing, and, you know, you're looking at it a little differently. So
you said something really wise in the beginning. Master four-point rolls and slow rolls.
Yeah.
Because you're doing exactly what you're talking about in mm-hmm. four-point rolls and slow rolls, but in a much more controlled element. The throttle isn't much of a big deal, you know, popping it.
Right.
And one thing that's amazing, remember at NOLM when we were watching the guys with the doing pyro flips and everything?
Yeah.
You watch a helicopter pilot do like pyro flips, and everything is very smooth and rhythmic. Mm-hmm. You watch a 3D pilot, and it's boom, 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 boom. It's almost like a complete 180 degrees difference.
Oh, for sure.
Between how their stick movements are. One has to be very meticulous and smooth to a rhythm, and the other one is very poppy and reactionary.
Yeah, banging the sticks around.
But both of them look very, very smooth. You know, the aircraft is behaving very smooth, even though you're yeah. given all these inputs.
Yeah, which another point to that. When you're starting out Expo, make sure you have Expo in, you know, that's going to smooth out your stick movements. You know, when I started 3D, I think in the tail, I think I had, you know, 70 plus on the rudder.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then slowly back it down. Like if you ask Brandon Chitty, he's like, I got like 15 on everything. And you're like, how do you do that? But, you know, now I think I'm in the 30s on in the tail, the aileron's not as much, but you know, Expo definitely helps. So
yeah, so Expo is making the stick less sensitive around mid-center, right?
Exactly. So if you slam it to the right, it's the radio will just smooth out your you know, dumb thumbs, basically.
And I'm pretty sure, like, Aaron Bates flies off of, like, one rate, and he has 100%, yeah, as far as it'll go, but then, like, 65% expo. So he flies very, very smooth, you know, like, IMAX style, and then he can just go crazy, but he doesn't flip the switches or anything.
Well, I think what Aaron does is actually, because, and I do this, I think because he recommended it to me, is you do have dual rates, but all it adjusts is your ailerons.
Okay.
Mm. You keep the tail, you know, max authority on everything.
My guess is that's like rolling circles and rolling harriers. You can really pin that out. You don't get that super high rate of roll.
Exactly.
Very cool. That's a good tip.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's not really mine. It's his.
No, no,
it's
no,
a free podcast. So.
Yeah, you don't edit that out. Edit that out. Make that mine.
Yeah. Very cool. So throttle management, master four-point rolls, slow rolls.
Yeah, really harrier. Just... Learn how to fly in every orientation is the thing that I think people miss.
What would be your favorite airplane to recommend to someone to get for 3D? Like, if their first 3D airplane?
Well, EPP is going to be huge. you know, I only have a couple flights on it, but I'm really liking this Aerobeats Extra.
Yeah, I was just looking at it on my iPad. It looks super nice.
Yeah, thanks. I designed that scheme.
Really? It looks great. Well, I like how it's not like profile. It's like it's got the shape and form of like a balsa.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at the right one, it's like $140.
Yeah, which is cheap. I have one in the truck if you want to see it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
It flies like balsa. I flew it on the Maiden. I flew it in probably 10 mph winds, and it was just solid. Which, you know, for something that light, I was shocked. But yeah, EPP is so forgiving. I would start with that.
Expanded polypropylene.
Whatever you say.
Did I get that right? And then what's it? Well, the difference, because there's EPO, there's EPP. The reason why you like EPP planes is because it is spongier and more giving. It can take a tumble.
Yeah. You know, the I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, but the multiplex foam is awesome too, because you can you can CA it back together at the field, which is huge. You don't have to use foam safe CA or hot glue or anything. Yeah, it doesn't work.
I love it. Shut up.
So yeah, I would start with some small aerobatic plane, something, you know, that's going to be a little forgiving. From there, the small balsa is good, but you really, and a lot of people say this, and you really can't believe it until you do it, bigger flies better. So, you know, a 60-inch balsa plane is going to be a whole lot easier to fly than a 40-inch little balsa plane. You know, it's a couple $100 more, but you're probably going to get more out of it.
So how important are the servos, in your opinion, then?
Oh, incredibly important.
So don't go 9-gram Hextronic servos.
No, no.
Why hate them 9 grams, Dave? They fly everything, including my full scale.
Yeah, no, you definitely want a servo that's going to come back to center every time. You know, I've switched to all digital. I know that's, you know, you're not going to start out that way, but, you know, a good analog servo is going to be good. Of course, I'm impartial, but I would say, you know, take a look at the Hi-Tech catalog, come see us at the booth, and we'll tell you what to put in. You know, for the smaller stuff, the HS65s have just been solid.
So what's most important, the centering or the resolution or?
Well, you know, it depends on what you're doing. And again, I'm not an expert when it comes to that stuff, but for me, centering is huge, because, you know, you don't want to, you know, be like trimming your plane nonstop throughout the flight going, well, now why is it pitching up now and all that. So, you know, resolution is nice. It keeps everything smooth and all that. And a lot's going to depend on your radio also. But but for me, you know, digital, good servos, do not skimp on the servos. Because that's going to make all the difference and make it less frustrating.
Yeah, because what you're doing is flying precision, right. And everything you have is going to reflect that. And I know a lot of people start out with cheap stuff and they don't understand why it's not flying good.
Yeah, you got to learn your lesson. Yeah.
Yeah. So a top tip is that you actually have to invest in servos. Same with if you're going over to gliders, especially the discus launch gliders, you buy an expensive airframe for $800, and then you spend at least $400 on servos.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So yeah, servos, huge part of things, depending on what kind of precision you need.
I don't buy it.
Because usually everything we do here is 9 gram servos, just straight up and down, and there's like 2 inches of slop in the control surfaces, but it's fine.
That's called Expo, Dave.
Mechanical Expo.
Mechanical Expo. Yeah,
if you're having fun, you know, that's what we're all here for. Yeah.
When you get out of the EPP and you go into something that's Balsa, that's where you're protecting your investment. Definitely. When you go with better quality servos.
Yeah, having a servo lock up sucks. You know, most of the time you're not prepared for it, because why would you be? And you know, it usually means the end of that airframe.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Plus, you want to look good. I mean, if you're gonna go out and fly around people, you want to be like, yeah, that guy's pretty good. Put cheap servos in, you're not gonna look so good.
So, have you hit your ceiling yet? Or like, what you're comfortable with, or are you always training? Or like, are you at a level you're like, yeah, I'm good, or keep pushing?
You know, before I had kids, I was at a point where I was like, I'm pretty good. And, you know, my skills have slowly deteriorated from there. So I'm happy with where I'm at, but I would like to do a lot of things better. And I'd like to do some new stuff that I just cannot get. So I'm always pushing at the field to do better. But, you know, from the time I was a little kid, I've always been cautious. Like, that's number one to me. Be safe. Try to bring my planes home. But part of being a 3D pilot is you have to be willing to lose everything.
Yeah.
You know, so you get that first crash out of the way and, you know, you're going to lose a plane. You can't get upset about it.
Well, you can, but it doesn't help.
Right. Well, I tell you what, I've lost a lot of planes, but when I lost that big one, which, you know, that thing was my pride and joy, I took that better than any other plane I've ever lost.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think it was just because it was, you know, I've been through this before, you know.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. So
it's the finality of it, too. You see it and say, okay, there's no taking that back. You know, you move on from it.
Yep, learned lesson, done. Let's break the bank on a new one.
Well, and that's a key thing, too, is the great thing about this hobby is no matter where you want, you ask a good question, Dave, because no matter where you want to go, if you want to be a professional 3D pilot, you can achieve that. If you want to just go burn a battery in your backyard, you can do that, too. Everyone has a different goal, and ultimate winner of the group is the one that had the most fun.
Yeah. You know? Oh. And I jump back and forth. I mean, I have these big gas planes that I love. And, you know, there's nothing cooler than hovering a big gas plane. Your adrenaline's going, and it's just awesome. But then, you know, I have buddies that just fly, you know, little 3S stuff. And I look at them, and they're just carefree, having fun, where I'm like, all right, I'm going to take off. Please let this go okay. And, like, sweating. And that's where I go back to the high-tech weekender stuff. Is it's just like that dogfighter, when we did that dogfighter episode.
Yeah. Fun.
I don't remember having that much fun flying in a long time.
That was a fun time.
I mean, I watched that episode today, and I laughed through the whole thing. And we had so much fun doing that.
And if you guys are wondering, can you put in the show notes?
Yeah, sure. Sorry, more work for you.
No, all right. Dogfighter was
maybe
awesome.
Maybe the Neat Fair video, too.
Yeah.
Nick wasn't there, but we hung out with the high-tech guys.
Yeah. Yeah, just throw the Joel Null experience in there, too. Just get more around.
Yeah, that's true. And smoke on the water.
And smoke on the water.
Sure, no problem, guys.
Yeah, there you go. Anymore. No, that's great. And the neat thing is I know when my wife first met me, I didn't have anything under 8 foot. Everything was gas. Everything had rumbly engines. And it was all scale planes. I love, like, this, you know, quarter scale Roncas and Citabrias and the big planes. But
Then
all of a sudden we have kids. And next thing I know, I'm cutting out foam, and my passion's foam. She's like, why aren't you flying, like, the manly-looking planes anymore? And I was like, you just don't get it. This is just, I can hand it over to Michael or Noah, and they can roll it in a ball, and we can have a chuckle, pick up the pieces. And if we can't tape it back together here, we'll have it back in the air, you know, in one day.
Absolutely.
And it's funny how things change. You know, I'm sure once your kids get to where they're able to fly, you know, the gasters will probably be sitting on a hiatus until you're at an event or something, you know.
Well, and they pretty much do. I mean, most of the flying that I get to do anymore is in my backyard. We got, you know, we got some trees, but we're on 2 acres. So it's, you know, and that's part of the reason I got really into multi-rotors is I can do that here.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And, you know, I have cool videos of, you know, they're in their power wheels driving around and I'm flying behind them with, you know, $2,000 camera. Like, it's so ridiculous. But I'm like, at least I have that. You know, yeah. I've accomplished that.
You're taking right. family photos, you know?
Exactly.
It's a memory.
Yeah. So I actually have a video where I was flying David's tricopter. With a GoPro on it, and my son is standing in the front yard with a Nerf dart gun. And I was like, Henry, see if you can shoot it. First shot, ding, right on the camera.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, he's not that good.
Is it behind the back as well?
Yeah, through the legs, behind the back, eye closed. Yeah. So that kind of stuff is where I'm at right now. The gassers are for the weekends, and you know, even at events, I try not to fly them too much. You know, because, you know, I don't fly enough that I'm 100% comfortable all the time. So.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you definitely bring the fun into the hobby. And I remember Michael, my youngest, learned on lumber, and he was real passive. He just kind of did not move the sticks and fly in circles. Yeah. And one day Noah was riding in the backyard with his bicycle, and I was like, hey, Michael, try to hit him in the head. And he looked up at me like, Dad, what is wrong with you? I'll be honest, I won't yell at you, but all I wanted to do was to see if he could control the airplane.
Yeah.
And he was just like a dart. He was just chasing after Noah. And it's like, okay, yeah, you can control the airplane. I'll need to address that part. But then he went back to circles. When Noah went away, he just went back to watching it become a free flight again. And
We don't condole the chasing kids with airplanes.
Yes, or trying to hit him in the head. But it did work, by the way. So that's a quick tip for your dad.
All right, well, that's what I'm going to do. Henry, get your little sister. Look at her.
Just give her something faster than the actual airplane flying.
Well, she's the type that'll catch it and just smash it into pieces and laugh about it.
You got an adorable family, man.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. So where are we moving on with this?
Yeah. Where are we going?
That was about it. Wanted to chit-chat about stuff. This is a pretty free-form podcast. We could get into some voicemails and that sort of thing. But
do we have a cable plugged in?
No.
Okay.
Where are we at with time?
We're at an hour and 1 minute.
Hour and 1 minute. So, yeah, we could do a couple of voicemails. Let's do like 10. Normally we do like 20. But
yeah. I have one more question before we move on, though. what's your thought on gliders, then? Because you flew the discus launch glider.
The discus launch glider was one of the coolest things I've ever flown.
Oh, yeah?
I had a powered glider, and it wasn't really my thing. But that DLG was so cool, and that is definitely something I want to do. But I have so many other expensive parts of this hobby that I'm like, I look at them and I go, I can't spend that right now.
Yeah. You know? Now, it's funny because I don't know a single 3D pilot that flies gliders, really enjoys both because they're so opposite. One, you have to control all the time. The other one, as soon as you touch the control surfaces, you're ruining lift.
Yeah, see, the thermal thing for me, like, I don't know if I would, that'd be like, I can't wait to get out and fly my glider. Like, I need stuff that I could, like, relax and fly, and that's what I see with that. And what I like about it is you're physically involved.
Yeah.
You like spinning like a ballerina, don't you?
You know, I took dance classes when I was a kid. You know, it's
paying off.
Took me back. Yeah. But no, it's definitely cool, and that is definitely something I would like to do. It's just that investment to it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, multi-rotors right now are just eating me alive. You know, the money I spent, I wake up in the morning, check the classifieds. I'm like, oh, I don't need to buy that, but that's a good deal.
Well, I don't think you're alone there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people doing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so should we plug in the cable and see if stuff works? We should probably have done this beforehand.
Mark the time. We can cut this out.
1 minute and 3 minutes.
Okay.
1 hour and 3 minutes.
1 hour and three. Let's get hooked in here.
So it should be this wire, right?
This one.
Yes, hopefully. Well, we shall see. Okay.
Sorry, I have to keep going out and getting Max and opening the door and shutting the door. He seems very happy.
Everyone still here themselves?
I can hear.
I'm here.
Cool. So, yes.
Want a voicemail?
Yes, try it. I just want to see. Completely dead.
Nothing.
Oh, wait. Let me actually play it.
Still dead.
Still nothing.
See.
Let's just keep plugging things in until it works.
Tape input. So we're good on that. And you have volume.
Maybe not.
Things like
There you go.
Commander, timers.
Cool.
Hey, okay.
That's notes that you have right. about your plane.
Minor detail.
Yeah, pump it up all the way if you can.
Heads up, all the way.
Cool.
All right, so what time is it now?
Now we're at 1:04.
1:04.
1:04, I mean, sorry.
Right, don't mind me taking pictures.
That's okay, I got it.
What? Ooh, you broke the lens.
Oh.
Shame on you.
Nice. Okay, so we should be good running some voicemails.
All right, yeah. Let's, this doesn't need to be a lightning round Q&A just because we're only going to do about 10 or so. So
okay.
Just answer the questions.
Never is a lightning run.
Yeah, it never is anyway. It's fun to pretend sometimes. Okay, first one's from John from Maryland.
Hey, flight test crew. This is John from Maryland. Wanted to know, if you had a flight test mobile application for iPhone or Android, what type of features would you like to see in the application itself? Things like battery management or timers or notes that you have about your planes or things like that. What kind of features would you like to see? And also, I think it might be time to take beta out of the name of the site, out of a little picture on the front page. I'm not sure it's a beta site anymore. But thanks again, and keep up the good work.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alex, go.
No pressure. Yeah, actually, we're in the process of me and Austin specifically are working real hard with a couple other teams of people. We're in the process of redesigning the website. One of the main key features that we're shooting for is to have it be responsive. So it'll kind of be like an app. And actually, yeah. Funny you mentioned an app. We do actually have a prototype for an app. It's not like anything you were talking about. Like, I liked his idea as far as like an app that you could use at the field to improve
calculators,
to improve your flying experience or to help you as like a tool. That's the kind of app that currently the prototype we have is just kind of like a content, an app to manage all of our content. So it'll show you our store, it'll show you podcasts, the
Facebook.
Show. So yeah, it's a good idea. That's off in the future. Right now, it is still a beta website.
Yeah, right.
we're sticking to our guns on that. But we have a lot of good stuff coming your way as far as the website. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, working on some very, very exciting things with the website redesign. And honestly, the redesign isn't anything like substantial. It's really just kind of streamlining what we already have, making everything easier to get to. So maybe then it'll be appropriate to take off the beta.
Yes.
We're getting really close and should have some excitement. And also, it's all based on feedback we've gotten back from actual users. Mm-hmm. So that's one great thing about having a quote-unquote beta site. That's kind of the purpose, is you take feedback and you take suggestions, that sort of thing, from other people and incorporate them. Yeah, as far as an app goes, I think like a calculator app, that sort of thing, is really, really good idea. That sounds maybe a separate app. Mm-hmm. Like maybe we could produce something like that.
Yeah.
CG app would be great. I know a lot of people in flight test are really into designing planes. And you know, when you have a wing that's swept and certain chord here, certain chord there, and you can dial in on one 30% or 25% just to get a rough idea of where to put it, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think app and or multiple apps are definitely in the future. I think the most important thing is that it needs to be something that we would use.
Yeah.
Like I think that's honestly probably how it will come about, is just we know there's something we really want and just put it out for everyone else too.
Semi-lightning.
Mm-hmm. Semi-lightning. Patrick from Massachusetts.
Greetings, Flight Test. This is Patrick from Amherst, Massachusetts. I have a question about plane surfaces. I recently built two FT racers. One was straight foam board. One I covered in Mylar wing tape. The foam board one tracked like a dream. It just steeply banked corners. It just loved them. And the Mylar wing tape one is kind of a little more slippery. And I was wondering if, did I just build it poorly? Or did the tape add too much weight? Or is there perhaps a difference between the friction of your surfaces and stability, much like, say, a vortex generator would work? Or a combination of all these, perhaps. I figured you have explored a lot more coverings than I have. And what are your findings? Thank you very much. Okay, bye.
Do you want, who wants it?
I'm eyeballing Nick. I'm thinking the word parasitic drag. is probably coming into play.
I was going to say the same thing before he even got to it.
Cool. We had this like mental thing going here. Yeah, parasitic drag. The neat thing with the foam board is it is very dirty. It's just like EPP foam planes. They're very dirty airframes. And when you have all that drag, it's almost like you're flying a windsock through the air. So everything's grabbing, kind of pulling and tracking nice. When you get an airframe that's slippier, I can picture your discus launch glider.
Yeah, they're super slippery.
Yeah, crazy slippery. And you get, that's where actual aerodynamics probably play a little bit more of an effect.
Yeah, and in this case, I think the air is, getting loose from the wing, especially the bottom wing when you're doing the turn, and therefore it slides more downwards, most probably. But it could be, in this case, it could more or less be the building experience as well, or like the how you built it, how it tracks. It's hard to tell when it's in this case.
Could be weight, too. Like you said, it could be a combo of all three.
Yeah. It's just everything is just small and very hard to measure at this scale.
Yeah. All right. Next question.
Hey guys, this is Matthew from Australia. I'm really enjoying listening to your podcasts. I really enjoy the videos of flight tests too, but it seems to be a lot easier for me to listen to a couple of hours of your awesome podcasts. It seems to be very difficult for me to find 15 minutes out of my day to watch the videos, unfortunately. But thanks very much. I've just built my first scratch build, which is a vegan. And I'm really excited about it. I've built it out of core flute because, as Australians know, and a lot of people know, foam board's not really readily available in a lot of countries apart from America. Is there any chance you'd do some videos or have a chat about alternate building materials like core flute? Thanks very much, guys. Keep up the good work.
Never heard of core flute.
Yeah,
I wonder if that's like Corplast.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I bet it's heavier, but I'm not sure. It sounds heavier. Sorry.
can someone type in core flute real quick?
You could do other materials like Depron, and then all you do is just put tape on one side, which simulates the paper, and you do the same build techniques, and it works just fine. I built a mini vegan using that build technique, and it worked fine.
Very, very cool. And
I know that we're working on solutions to, alternative build materials is a great idea just to play with different things and see what works. But we're also working on solutions to get foam board more places.
And special foam board.
Yes.
Within the next 6 months, we'll have things like shipping rates, distribution, raw materials, because we love selling speedboat kits. That's wonderful, but we really want to have that be a tool to get you into scratch building and experimenting with the hobby, on your own terms. So that means getting raw materials over to people in all other ends of the countries as well. So, hopefully 6 months' time, there'll be a whole different world.
Yeah, I think that people will be pretty pleased with making it easier to get.
Thanks for being part of the family, Matthew.
All right, next question is from Brandon.
Hello, Flight Test. My name is Brandon Mason from Kingman, Arizona. And first off, let me say that this isn't a question for a podcast, but merely I just wanted to make a statement. I want to thank you, Josh Bixler, Josh Scott, Chad Capper, Austin Fury, Alex Savada, Dave Knopp, David Vindestol, Anna Fury, Jen Bixler, and whoever else I may have missed for making Flight Test one of the best companies whose goal revolves around passion and fellowship. There are not a lot of companies who strive to be the most true to heart and just want to make money, but Flight Test isn't that. On behalf of the audience members and customers of Flight Test, I thank you guys from the bottom of my heart for inspiring people and sharing the love and passion God has given us. May the Lord continue to bless you guys, which are Flight Test. I am so excited to see what the future brings and sending that message of fellowship and love into others who may need it. Oh, and of course, thank you for inspiring us to enter the world of RC flight. If you do use this on a podcast, I just want to say hello to the future me, And
I like this guy.
Continue to do what you do. Bye.
We need to find out where these people live and send them all t-shirts.
That's funny.
Man, thank you for the kind. We have been blessed by God, but also by the community.
We should be thanking you.
Yeah, I don't know how we would properly
be here.
Say it.
We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you and all the other great people in the community.
He had a great radio voice, too.
He did. Yeah. So articulate.
By the way, I haven't listened to any of these, well, at least most of these, before playing, so I'm kind of playing.
Is that your disclaimer?
I'm playing voicemail roulette.
Well, and you know, just,
that was a good one.
Going back to the gentleman, too, I want to say that, you know, the bigger passion of us is making memories, creating relationships. The aircraft are the vehicle, at least for me personally, to making that happen. So a lot of great benefits with this hobby, and this is just one of them. So thank you for identifying. Find that.
Yeah, that was very kind and generous. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that, Brian. Next is a question about night flying.
Hi, this is Luke from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm 15, and I was wondering if anybody down at Flight Test does night flying. I find that as the days get shorter, well, now they're getting longer, but I do a lot of it because I just don't have time to get out there early enough. So any tips for night flying? That'd be great. And I was wondering if you're going to have David Bindestool back on the FT After Hours podcast. I really enjoyed the one with him on it. I was wondering if you'll have him on again. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the great podcasts. Bye.
David. Oh my gosh. Hello. My ears are bleeding.
Sorry about that, guys. Sorry if you this blew out your car speakers.
Nick, you know a lot about night flying because that's usually when the crazy stuff happens with high tech guys.
Yeah, I mean, most of my experience does come from goofing off with the high tech guys, but the basics are, you know, if you're going to use just colored LEDs, you know, one side of the plane is one color, for orientation purposes, definitely know the area that you're flying in, because you obviously can't see anything besides your plane. And if there's a tower or a house, you don't want to unexpectedly meet that. And I guess it also depends on what you're flying. Foamies and stuff, that the nice, the different color LEDs are great. Some of the bigger stuff, there's some really bright, strong LEDs you can mount it at the wingtip and it lights the whole plane up, which, I'm sure there's plenty of videos and stuff for that to find. And, those things I've been very impressed with. Keep it safe and know where you're at is really the key to that stuff.
Slower, better too, huh? Big slip. I'm talking to the wrong person.
I want to throw in a tip, and that is light a surface, not just have a really bright spot and look at. So you're just flying dots in the air.
Yeah.
So try and light it, flip the LEDs inwards and light up the foam, for instance.
Right.
Or, just something. And also, more LEDs is not always better because you don't see anything else.
Yeah, and like LEDs on 4-cell, if you're flying it close to you, you're blind.
Yeah. So you're like, my eyes! Yeah. And then you're like,
so. Do you remember the Kraken at the Neat Fair?
Yeah, that was perfect.
It was like a big light bulb in the air, but it was diffused. And exactly what David said, internally is really good.
Yeah, so you're flying a surface, not flying a dot.
We just stuffed the wings with LEDs, and it looked really good.
In the high-tech tent, I remember that. We were just cramming them in there.
Yes, we were.
Sounds about right.
All right, next voicemail. I'm going to turn this one down a little bit, David.
Yeah, go.
Right.
David, please can you fly your plane into space again on the big balloon?
Oh my gosh! No, I have to.
It's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
Oh my gosh! How old?
4 years old. That was,
oh my gosh!
That was Wyatt from what sounded like the UK.
You got to play that again.
Yeah, one more time.
Go again.
One more time.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
David, please can you fly your plane into space again on the big balloon?
Wyatt, I will do it for you.
For the translation, for those that didn't catch it, I believe it was, David, can you fly to space again on your big balloon?
Yes.
he said, please.
Please, yeah, that's true. Very well-mannered. So.
Oh, boy.
Next is Hunter.
Hey, guys. My name is Hunter. I'm from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I just wanted to let you guys know how much you inspired me to get back into the hobby. I bought a Super Cub when I was 11, and I crashed that on my first flight. And so I fixed that up. I'm 15 now over the summer, and I flew that around I got my dad into it, and he bought a Champ. Then after he got good at that, we actually bought the eFlight Apprentice S with the safe technology in that, and we flew that for a while. And I actually just recently got into the multi-rotor phase of the hobby, and I built a tricopter based on David's 2.6 HV design. And I actually just recently put FPV gear. I received my Attitude SD version 2s in the mail a couple of weeks ago. I haven't really been able to fly yet because it's pretty crummy weather up here. But anyway, I have a couple of questions for you guys. And my first one is, why would we not use the circular polarized antennas on our transmitters to the planes or the tricopters or whatever you fly? Why wouldn't you use the circular polarized antennas on that? I don't know if that would affect the range or the quality of signal or how fast it would respond to it, but that's my first one. And my second one, actually the first one was directed toward David. I don't know if anybody could answer that, but I know he's the antenna guy. But my second one is primarily directed toward David. And I'm just wondering if he's going to be coming out with a new tricopter build log on his site or flight test site. I go to his build logs all the time for just to see how to build his tricopters or whatever. And I'm just wondering if he's going to come out with another one soon. I've seen some of the pictures on some recent videos, and I saw one on Vine. And I'm just wondering if he's going to come out with another one. Thanks, guys. You guys are doing a great job. Keep it up. Thanks.
Okay, so first question was...
circular polarized.
Circular polarized on the RC link. Anyone want to take that?
I'm guessing you can, Dave, because you're the antenna guy.
I can.
You're the antenna guy.
You're officially the antenna guy.
So one of the reasons why we don't use that on our 2.4 RC link is that they're large. They're big and they're cumbersome, and they're really hard to install in the fuselages or on the units themselves. And on the transmitters, it would be awkward to have that on there. That's one of the reasons. The other reason is it doesn't really, in our applications, transmitting data that as we do, in our case, it doesn't make much sense to use circular polarized antennas. Not too much. I mean, there is a benefit to it, but we use diversity setups. So you have 90 degrees, so you never get cross-polarization. If you set up your antennas right, there's actually better range using linear style antennas than there is to circular polarized antennas, because the signal goes in a spiral, therefore it travels a further distance before it gets to the unit, and therefore you lose range. So there is a couple of... That's mostly it. When you transmit, you just packages of information, or very little information. It doesn't really matter that much. You can do it if you want to, but especially on multirotors, there's no multipath because it's receiving on... There's very little multipath, at least, because usually you're not flying that close to objects. On the other hand, when you're using a video link, you're really close to the ground, and there's a lot of stuff for the signal to bounce at. So... And also, you're not rolling your multirotor that much, so the cross-polarization isn't that big of a problem. So that's mostly it. And for the second part of the question, if I'm going to do another build log, yes, I will when I have the time. And yeah, we'll see. Hopefully, when I get back to Sweden in May, I might be able to do one. Because now I do a lot of flight test stuff.
On that first question, I blacked out for a second. I think I got a nosebleed. All right, moving on to... Thank you, David.
Sure.
Moving on to the next question.
It's my flight test. It's Reed Wiley from New Zealand. I was wondering, I'm interested in 3D printers, if you should start releasing kits or plans where you download the 3D printed model and then print it off yourself. Thanks.
What?
I think he said he's interested in 3D printing, and if we would make 3D printing plans for cool stuff and then post them so that other people can print them.
Yeah, just, okay, for just stuff? Yeah, it's coming.
sure.
For planes? No.
Yeah, right.
Who has a 3D printer large enough to print a plane?
I don't think he was asking about planes. I think he's probably meant
just
like
components.
Yeah. I do have some components, and yes, I will post some stuff.
There are
Thingiverse.
Yeah, Thingiverse. There's .com. There's already some flight test stuff up there. I've seen like simple firewall and different also stuff non-flight test related, like good multi-rotor parts that you can print out. And
KK2 board cover.
KK2 board cover, cool. Tilt mechanisms.
Yeah, we might post made a gimbal recently, and we might post that.
Also, in the next couple months, we were planning on doing a 3D printing episode, kind of covering 3D printing and how it's changing the hobby and that sort of thing.
So. And the world.
And also and the world. World. Yeah.
All right, next question.
Hey, guys, this is Jack from Oklahoma. I've been flying FPV on 5.8 for roughly a year now, and I just received some 2.3 gigahertz gear with a Mad Mushroom and a 10-turn helical from IB Crazy. I'd just like to know if you could give us some information on the new frequency that has been available to us. Also, I recently started using the SkyZone FPV goggles and have found that the goggles give portable FPV a whole new meaning. It would be awesome if you guys could coordinate with Fat Shark in order to review the new Dominator HD goggles. And thanks for taking your time to listen to this, and I truly respect the effort that you guys put into the hobby. Thank you.
Okay, so 2.3 is a new frequency, so to speak. It's not new, but we have gear that can do it now.
Right.
And it's a great frequency. Problem is still the 2.4 gigahertz transmitters that we normally use. If you want to fly with other people, they will step on your signal. It doesn't matter. It's wide enough. So it will step on your signal if you're close to them because you're just too close. So you can't still fly on 2.3 and use 2.4 gear.
Is that what Trappy was using?
He used 2.4, For video, yes. And that's also what IB Crazy used. And he had to be far away from us, and he still had us stepping on his signal at points. So it's a great frequency, but still you get, if you fly with other people and they fly 2.4.
Fly solo, fly UHF for 72 megahertz.
Yeah, then you're completely fine. It's a really good, clean, relatively clean band because you're at the end of the 2.4 band and the beginning of it. And there's not too much stuff that's out there other than our RC gear when you're out flying. And 2.4 doesn't penetrate that far from like microwaves and Wi-Fi signals. So it's a pretty good band. And also you can fly multiple people on that 2.4 then. So what was the other part of the question?
I don't know.
Okay.
Was there a second part?
Dominators.
Dominators, yes.
Yeah, so, we'd like to have those too.
Yeah, if Fat Shark, you're listening, send us 10 pairs, please.
11.
I'm going to round it down to 9. I'm not sure what kind of rounding that is, but... I think that's it for voicemails for today.
Cool.
If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, please go to speakpipe.com/flighttest and click the record button.
We've got to listen to the four-year-old one more time.
I think we can make that happen.
That was awesome.
Just so you know, you can also download the SpeakPipe app for iPhone or iPad and record one that way. And we're going to play Wyatt's again one more time.
Yeah.
Cool. David, please can you fly your plane into space again on the big balloon?
Thank you, Wyatt. I'm going to have that as my signal for
ringtone.
My phone.
That was awesome. Oh, yeah, thank you guys, everyone, for leaving voicemails. It's a real pleasure getting to talk to you.
Yeah, we love playing. We will play more next week. Just wanted to I feel like this is pretty good. This seems like a good time to end it. Nick, where can people find you for decals or whatever?
Well, nachoscheese.net,
okay.
And that's nachos with an S.
All right.
That's my website. I have some pre-designed kits up there, but mostly I do a lot of custom work, which you can contact me through the website or look me up on Facebook, Nachos Cheese Graphics on Facebook.
So. Nice. Well, we'll link to that as well.
Cool.
Appreciate you coming and hanging out with us.
Sure. I loved it, man. I'm excited to be here and
really enjoyed it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to let people know, please subscribe whatever service you're using to listen to the podcast, whether that be iTunes, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, Player FM, or whatever service you use. Please click subscribe on the podcast. Helps us out a lot and makes it easy for you to see when the next one's uploaded. So.
Crazy thing I want to add in at the end.
Yeah,
we
sure.
are going to be at NEF, the 22nd mainly.
Oh, yeah.
So. Oh, we never got back to Flight Fest. It is July
20th. I'll tell you what, you look up Flight Fest, and I'll look up on NEF. NEF 21st, 22nd, 23rd. We are going to be there all day on the 22nd. It's an indoor event, so usually Saturday is the most busy.
Saturday, yeah.
We would love to fellowship and have some fun with you guys. So we'll have a link to NEF's official site. We are working on trying to get a pre-registration discount code for you, and it's given us some hiccups. So if we can possibly get that for you, we'll have some way to link to it. But yeah, man, we'd love to see you. It's just cold and bitter out here to have an open house here at Flight Test Headquarters. Wouldn't be nearly as much fun as having a big indoor venue.
Are we bringing some planes to fly?
Yeah, we're gonna be playing past the transmitter like crazy. So come out, play with some of our toys. We're going to have, hopefully, a lot of our different swappables.
Yeah.
And just take them and fly them and have some fun.
Are we going to do something called Kill the Flight Test Crew?
That's our goal, yes. It's kind of, am I allowed to say Smear the Queer? That's an old-time game that I think they've outlawed.
Yeah. Kill a flight test crew might be better.
Yeah.
Isn't it Kill the Carrier? That's how
it's kind of
Kill the Carrier.
Yeah, there you go. It's Kill the Carrier. It's kind of like Ariel, Kill the Carrier. Thank you. I had a scarred childhood. I was not gifted athletically, so I was always the one that got smeared. But I'm not bitter about it now, and I'm okay with it. Counseling and medication helped. But we're going to put some planes up in the air, and we're going to have lots of prizes. And the people that down the different people in the flight test crew, I know Alex, Dave, myself, Austin, maybe we'll get you in there.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe Eric Monroe. But for every crew member that gets downed, that person gets hopefully a kit plane or some swag.
Something.
Yeah. Something.
Get something.
And that's going to be in Akron, Ohio, right?
Yes. And that game is waiting approval. I don't want to just spontaneously do that. But they like the idea. They're just working out logistically because I know they have a full contact combat. They don't want to lose all the airplanes to the flight test guys. Oh.
So are we bringing stuff to sell?
I believe Dan is going to have Laser Toys is going to have product there.
Cool.
Last time I talked to him.
Yeah, I have had people ask.
Yeah.
So you want to save on shipping, we'll have stuff there.
Oh, yeah. Cool. So that's going to be our replacement open house for the month of March. We're going to have it there.
Cool. Thank you, Nick, for coming out.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank
Nick.
You.
Flight Fest, July 25th to the 27th.
25th, 26th, and 27th.
And that's in northeastern Ohio. We'll release more details as we get closer.
Earlier when I mentioned
it. So, yeah, that's the 25th to the 27th of July. It's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah.
First annual Festival of Flight.
And we're going to do kind of a preview episode / Kickstarter video for that coming soon. So look for that. And we'll see you guys next time.
See you guys.
Thanks to Nick for coming out.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care.